And that's our June 1st Rooster Crow of the Morning right here, Saturday morning in Arizona. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House. We've all got our cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee poured up. Go ahead and pour up your first cup. America runs on Dunkin'. We're here in the garden at Rosie on the House with specialists and experts to answer any question you might have about landscaping, gardening, outdoor lighting, even outdoor sound systems, hardscape, softscape, fertilizing, trimming, hedging, or if you're like at my house, burning, weeding, chainsawing, and burning some more, and chainsawing some more. That's all the landscaping tools I need at my house. Hey, y'all, we've got the experts here to answer your question. It's toll-free wherever you're listening in the great state of Arizona. It's 1-888-767-4348, and it being June 1st, with the official monsoon season just out 2 weeks, we're going to cover monsoon prep all day. Romy, why don't you go around and introduce your guests you've got here lined up to entertain and educate the Arizona homeowners this morning.
Well, we have Eric Mitko from Life's a Garden, who's going to start us off with our weekly tip, which is just so happens to be monsoon prep. What do we start with first when we're looking at our landscape garden and considering the coming winds and rains and possible lightning?
Trees. Reducing end weight, checking ties.
Okay.
On new trees.
And end weight. I'm thinking end is bottom. Is that root weight?
No, it's branch end weight.
Branch end weight.
Desert trees, especially a lot of the hybrids, tend to grow pretty fast, so they tend to get end heavy. And so by reducing the end weight, you can really help them get through the season.
So do I just cut everything off? How do I start identifying the end? Or do I just say, all right, I'm going to take a big old steel hedger and just go around like a lollipop they do in Sun City?
Please don't. Please don't. There's so many good resources online, and there are also a lot of qualified arborists. If you're not sure, I definitely recommend hiring a certified arborist to help you through it, maybe one or two seasons, and then maybe you could take it on from there. But yeah, there's two kinds of cuts, pruning cuts and heading cuts, and you just want to cut back as little as you have to get through.
Okay, and so that is end cutting? Is that what the technical term was?
Yeah, heading cuts or pruning
heading
cuts.
Heading cuts, okay. So we've got it trimmed down.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we need to be considering?
Possibly thinning the canopy.
Okay.
Taking out certain branches, rubbing branches is a good place to start.
Anything that's branches that rub together, I'm assuming?
Right.
Okay.
Anything growing in a way that kind of takes away from the aesthetics of the tree. Anything that's growing into a pathway or growing towards the house or the roof line.
Get them trimmed back, reduce risk of tree branches falling on
cars, people, houses.
The important things, you know, little stuff.
Sure.
What about staking? At what point do I need to, is a tree big enough to stake, unstake, remove stakes, ties?
Well, a lot of times when you're planting a tree, if it's growing tall quickly, you might want to stake it. Typically, we only stake a tree to keep the roots in place, not necessarily to keep the trunk vertical. So you want to give the tree a chance to get its roots out into the native soil and hold itself up. And that's pretty much the only time we want to stake. And we want to get those wires and hoses off before it starts cutting into the trunk. I've seen so many times where that didn't happen, where they left it on there for a year or two or three, and the monsoons came in and snapped that tree right where it was tied off.
Well, and so many times it's tied on tight. You're not trying to do it tight. I mean, it's over-tight to begin with. The tree needs to be able to sway.
Exactly.
And bend. That's kind of like its workout.
Right.
So when you see it, those wires are so tight, I mean, that you're just setting the tree up for failure.
Right. You're trying to get it. You're trying to encourage it to strengthen itself, and if you're just holding it up like a crutch, then why does it need to? So, yeah, moving around builds cell strength.
Now, in addition to trees and prep for the monsoon, is there anything else we need to be aware of? We hear a lot with rain sensors. Do you even worry about them in Arizona because we don't get enough rain? It's not a big deal. Just turn them off completely.
We're only wasting a little bit, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Well, rain sensors under $100. So, you know, there is a return on investment. And not only that, but you're not that guy watering his grass while it's raining. You know, so there's a little bit of pride, too. There's rain sensors. There's soil sensors. There's smart irrigation timers now that gather weather information and can adjust your irrigation for you. You know, it's important to set those up properly, but they do, you know, provide great dividends.
Outstanding. Let's back up a little bit. Eric, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and where you're originally from?
Born and raised in Phoenix, Arizona. Started Life's a Garden almost 11 years ago because my interest was growing food, saving water. And here we are 11 years later, learned a lot, doing good stuff.
Outstanding. Well, we appreciate you being here this morning, and we also a familiar voice if you're a regular listener. We have Roger Ramsey in. We had brought you in to talk about outdoor lighting, and in that conversation, in that radio broadcast, we learned about some outdoor music system. So we have you back on to talk about your Sonoscape that we've had the privilege of previewing for a week and a half.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an outdoor sound system. It's a 9-speaker configuration that, to the receiver, whether in the house or isolated, feels like a standard 2-speaker system you would have on your back patio. But the sound quality is unmistakable, as you were able to witness over the last week. And we set it up just so you could just witness it, because to hear it is to believe in it. It really does just kind of fill the area with a quality sound that's even throughout, doesn't really impede upon people having conversations and that type of thing.
That is probably the thing we talked about most with the entire staff, is that you could really turn it up and
yes.
say to the point you could feel the music and really enjoy it. If you like to, you know.
Yeah, you can crank the system, but the system is designed more for sound quality over sound quantity. If you turn it up too loud for too long, you could damage the speakers. But the overall quality of the sound, because most people don't really listen to music that loud. I mean, it'll crank, don't get me wrong. But the system was designed to provide an audiophile quality sound that's unmistakable, that just fills the entire room or area or bubble of sound, if you were, the space that you're in, with a sound that's even throughout.
And that's what we really liked, is you could turn it up to feel it, but yet you could still stand there and have a conversation because of the spacing of the speakers. But let's qualify the space needed for it. I mean, this isn't something you could put in a small backyard. Probably a few HOAs you might run into a little.
Au contraire.
Okay.
Yeah. The manufacturer dictates that you can only – this system would only – it's basically 8 satellite speakers, which are on axis. They're directional. They're similar to a spotlight, if you will, and a subwoofer. The manufacturer says that this system will only cover about 1,500 square feet. And now they're saying they're pushing it to 2,000 square feet. But you got to understand, these are audiophile guys. These are guys that are all into sound quality. Okay, if there's even the slightest drop in sound quality from their ears – they limit the square footage. I consistently set the system up at 2,500, 3,000. I've even pushed it as far as 4,000 square feet. But it does sound better in smaller, tighter areas. Now, to your point about the HOA issue and upsetting neighbors, it's usually not an issue, because instead of just mounting the speakers on the structure, blasting the sound outwards, over the fence, over the wall, into the neighbor's yards, and also impeding your ability to have a conversation right underneath the speakers, this system is placed out in the perimeter of the landscape, and it pushes the sound back towards your listening area. In doing that, you create that even sound throughout, but you also limit the amount of sound that's trespassing over into the adjacent yards, because the sound's being aimed back at your use of space, back towards the house, back towards the pool area. So you're really, it's a minimal intrusion of sound trespassing outside of that environment, as you guys were able to witness when you walked out into the parking area.
Oh, we left it on all day, every day, and just to walk out and have that sound and enjoy it. And I mean, no matter where you walked inside that perimeter, it was just a great, great sound. So we appreciate that, and we've brought Mr. Ramsey in to cover that a little bit with our outdoor living space. It's one of the great reasons we live in Arizona. We can go out there, we can enjoy it, and not have to worry about a whole lot of. Tornadoes, hurricanes, as we've seen around. So it's quite an advantage and one of the great reasons to live in Arizona. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's a free 1-800 phone call no matter where you live in the great state of Arizona. Phyllis in Sun Lakes has called in early. Let's see if we can help answer her landscape and garden question. Good morning, ma'am. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I had a thistle tree cut down last fall. It was huge, and it was taking over the whole yard. What my question is, do the roots continue to grow after the tree is cut down?
That's a great question. We will turn it over to Eric Mitko.
They can. Yeah, their sissies are very well known for root suckering. So along with acacia, some of the acacias, the roots can continue to sprout new trees. So,
do we get a backhoe in there and rip it out?
A good stump grind a lot of times will take care of it. I don't know. Did you get the tree stump ground?
I did.
Okay.
And yes, I have to have my, or had to have my patio replaced. And when they pulled the concrete up, there were the biggest roots underneath there. And they also grow underneath the wall. Somebody told me to put salt. Oh, and then now I have shoots coming up. Someone told me to put salt on there. I've done that. Or Clorox on the shoots. Would that kill the stump, roots, too?
Clorox as a remedy for sprouts or suckers coming up. What do you think?
Well, bleach kills just about everything, but I wouldn't recommend it. You can hand pick the small ones off and eventually deplete the roots of enough energy to keep going, or you can have, you could dig the roots out.
Now, what is a good stump grind? Because that's how we had started the conversation. I mean, is it how far below the soil are we talking?
It really depends on the species of the tree, but a good foot, but then going out too and getting some of the bigger parts of those roots is the key. So a lot of times they just do the stump itself and not go out against the big roots that are leaving that area, and that's where the suckers start.
Hey, Eric, what about using that root and stump killer? We've used that on some things we've cut down at the house. Is that?
I've had mixed results.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Brush and stump killer.
Okay, not familiar.
Root
and stump.
Root and stump, yeah.
The kind you drill in and then pour it in and pour in hot water.
Right.
Yeah, mixed results depending on species.
Okay.
Well, we're going to come back. We got Christy in Tucson, Matt and Chandler, an open line for you at 1-888-767-4348.